Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you have reached America Health Crisis through Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Paulette Young, and we'll be joined by Selena Lindsay and a few others shortly. Okay, we once before talked about pain thinners, so, you know, is it banned? Why did the Federal Drug Administration, or as we call it, FDA, place a hold on ban on the chemical called methylene chloride found in paint thinner and varnishes? How many more deaths will occur before FDA stops the sale of all paint thinners containing methylene chloride? What can you do as a consumer to stop this madness? That's our topic tonight. We're going to explore. Where are we at now with this? I don't know if some of you that are on the line right now might have heard us talk in the past on this topic, because since 1980 we have something like 56 recorded deaths. There's probably more, but that's what's recorded so far. And so what are we going to do about it? Hi, Selena. How are you?
Fabulous.
Oh, great. What do you have to say about this topic, this paint thinner and varnishes and methylene chloride?
Well, number one, I think all of the little pharmacists and street pharmacy owners are doing quite well with it since you know, they like to put together their little knockoff drugs with it. And that's part of the problem, along with the fact that certain types of paint thinner in the state of California are now banned, mainly because supposedly, you know, it adds to our so-called climate problems with throwing certain types of chemicals into the air. But we definitely know for sure with what goes on in the streets and some of the places that we visit, it's a main contributor to being part of the mix for them being enabled to make certain kinds of drugs. And anytime, you know, the street pharmacy gets cheaper than the regular pharmacy, then there's going to be a problem. They're going to get it off the market. And
right.
Especially when they started making chemical marijuana. And I have to be facetious and sort of act like Cat Williams. You know, Cat Williams is a comedian, which he makes the joke, which he always says, I don't exactly know the formula, but it is definitely one of the main ingredients that the components of some of the stuff that our kids are smoking and some of the little tablets that they're taking.
Wow.
And this stuff is hellacious. Along with that, some people aren't even smart enough to go that far with it. They're just outright putting it up to their nose, inhaling it.
We're so slow on things, and then we have to have other big national organizations come in on it before it stops. Because they have what they call the SDP, priority products. And then the other group called the DTSD, they seem to be a very powerful group to at least get the public attention and to get the FDA attention and the EPA attention, because they have standards that various organizations do follow, which is good. But this has been going on too long. It's been banned, in, they said, in the European Union. It's been banned.
Well, they knew what to do. But
why are we so slow? Is money the reason why we're so slow?
Well, because exactly. Certain people make money from things, and whether we want to admit it or not, now we can backtrack and go to such items as, say, Noriega.
Mm-hmm.
And what was going on with getting certain kinds of things. This is a chemical that's also used in one of the little common street names is called, you know, the white girl. in making cocaine. And when this stuff, the white powder is big business, always has been. And, yeah, it's really messed up. And then,
they're, you know, they're stripping paint down, and they're inhaling this methylene chloride. And plus, it can go through the skin, as I understand some of the writing.
Well, that all of that good, legit mess is what I call it, mess, because that's not the real problem. The real problem is cocaine and methylene oxide.
A problem?
Yeah,
I got a problem with
this.
Wait, the methylene chloride is not a problem?
Well, it's a problem.
We don't have cocaine in it. So I wanted to kind of stick to what the real culprit that these other groups are looking at. They're looking at the methylene chloride. Now, it's possible that this stuff can be put into cocaine or whatever, but the main thing is they're not putting cocaine in paint thinner.
No, they're not putting it in paint thinner, but they use part of the mythology, part of the chemical is a catalyst to create other types of drugs such as crystal meth. You know, it's one of the catalysts as a cooker.
I'm not following you because I'm trying to see how you're correlating that methylene chloride with these other things that you're talking about.
Some of the drugs which are found in a drug, just like when you go to the pharmacy and you find out that they have now locked up, say, for instance, a common one, which would be, say, NyQuil. You know, NyQuil has a lot of alcohol and other kinds of things in it. And for instance, say a common drug that's used as a decongestant. Those kinds of pills are used to make various different types of drugs. So they don't even allow a youngster to even purchase this thing. So sticking to the topic, yes, it does other kinds of things with the atmosphere and what the particular compound does to the skin. But this mess has been going on for 30, 40 years. You know, when they painted ships for war and airplanes and all kinds of others utilized for. And they've known certain properties from these things for years and years and years. When you look at Veterans Administration and a bunch of soldiers and various different things that have extreme contact with paint thinner and some of the various jobs that they have that in terms of painting things and every last one of the aircraft makers. Gulfstream, Bird, Hughes Aircraft, you know, this stuff has to be banned. And it's created problems with their employees. They have problems from inhaling it. They have headaches. I have all kinds of stuff that's happening by the use of this stuff. And in fact, certain companies that have a huge amount of this stuff on hand, they don't know what to do with it because, as you well know, it has to be destroyed. And to destroy it is basically like trying to get rid of a nuclear warhead. You can't pour it down the drain. You can't pour it into the ocean. It'll kill them. It'll kill the fish.
Right. That's why I tell people not to. You remember in the old days, they used to tell you to pour your medicine that's no good down the toilet? Now they say don't do that. They got these bags that put them in. That can, you know, decompose the medicine.
Yeah, it has to be taken care of in a special mannerism.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not too strong on what they say you can use as a replacement. Because especially if you're in certain types of business and you use the stuff all the time. I mean, even like, say, in my nonprofits, we do what they call graffiti removal off of walls and various different things in the community. And, you know, it's one of the ways that you get the stuff off the wall. You know, you just spray it up there and wash it down, and, you know, the paint removes itself from the wall, and then we just, you know, put fresh color back up there, and it's gone. But you can't use that stuff anymore. And some of the ones that they have, acetate and some of the other ones, and spirits, mineral spirits, some of them don't have some of the same properties, because anybody knows, if you've ever painted anything and use paint thinner, which a lot of people use it to clean their brushes. Artists use it.
Just mentioned, but some of those artists are dying of cancer. they're dying of that's chemicals that they're using. And I don't know what the rules and regulation is for the schools, because I can't see children inhaling this stuff.
They were not employees. You know, they didn't have any. There were no rules in place.
At the state, is there rules in place? I haven't checked that area. You know, like your elementary, your junior high, especially your high school, because that's when a lot of kids get into starts. And that's when they have all those chemicals. In fact, one of the private schools in the Laverne area, the art teachers, that's where she died of cancer. And I thought, wow, she used paint thinners. They had methylene chloride. And at that time, it wasn't too long that she died either.
Well, paint also, because paint has certain known chemicals in it that have been known to cause cancer. So that's a whole nother topic, you know, but...
Okay, what about those old, I know that's another topic, what about those old art, like, name some of them.
Rembrandt.
Van Gogh and all the famous ones. What about them?
Well, you know, nobody wants to talk about that because you're talking about, you know, $20 million or priceless art. But a lot is made from known things that they use what they had back in the day.
That you're inhaling toxins, or that these things are going through your skin. There was one article
the art is not handled. You know, it's not handled to preserve it. You don't put your hands on it. Even in the museum, they wear gloves. Even when they touch the frame, that's how precious it is. And it's also kept in what they call, it's kept in a type of a container that does not allow air to get to it, because the air itself will deteriorate it.
There's one article said that it can cause some brain cancer, problems with your liver and your central nervous system, causing central nervous system depression, intoxication and unconsciousness, and of course, it's been a thing that they have reports that it does cause death, and that's the biggest concern. I'm glad the last time we did the program in January on paint thinner, some articles have come out since then. Not by the FDA, but by another group called the, Safer Consumer Product Program. You have that group called the DTSC. And what they've done is trying to protect workers and consumers from the methylene chloride. They've put certain products like methylene chloride on a list of the things that it does. So with that, stores can read that, see it, and that's how they've been able to ban it from the market. It's through those organizations. Because anytime something's going to cause death, they got to do something different.
Well, there's many things we can talk about with this stuff because, you know, right on the bottle it says open in a ventilated area. That ought to be enough to scare you half to death.
Right, but, you know, I don't think it does because why would a person enclose themselves in a garage like the one mother who, I think her son was in his 30s, he went using that stuff in a garage. The garage was not open. Of course, today he's dead. But I don't think he planned his death.
Well, but that's just it. You have a lot of common sense. Some people don't think about certain kinds of things when they do it. It's just like if you have certain types of heaters. Every time the winter comes, it just hurts my heart to find out that, a family's in a van with a barbecue pit and the van is closed up and they go and find everybody in the van dead. A homeless family trying to keep warm from inhaling the fumes from the barbecue pit, carbon monoxide.
Right.
And it's the same question that you and I with common sense ask, why would somebody, but they're just not, they don't understand it. They don't know. When you're ignorant, you just don't know.
So it's a lack of education.
You don't realize that they're creating a deathly environment. And a tremendous fire hazard. And that's what happens with paint thinner. Paint thinner is, it says on the bottle, but a few people read it. It says extremely, I see painters smoking a cigarette and fooling around with, they usually pour the stuff on a rag and they're using that rag to get paint off of places that it's gotten on, say if they're doing a window seal or something like that, and they're smoking.
Wow.
And I ask
because
the same question.
Ignorance and what that label is reading. So it just shows again, no matter what that label says, if people aren't understanding how deadly this stuff is, and then the average person that don't understand wouldn't think it'd be deadly, that they would die from it.
Exactly. Exactly. They have no idea unless the fire department comes and shows you.
They're dead right now from inhaling.
Well, the fire department comes and they show you how much of a, what they call it, is a catalyst, how flammable it is even from a distance, you know, and all you got to do is virtually, put it under the a large cup that you get from McDonald's and just leave it sitting there, you know, for 20 minutes and then, you know, roll a cigarette over there and up goes the cup in a second, you know.
Answer my question for this part. I put it up on there. Why did the Federal Drug Administration place a hold on the ban? Methylene chloride. Originally, that's what they did.
Because, one, they want to, this is what they say, they want to make sure that they have all of the T's and I's dotted. And that's all of that is ridiculous to me and you, because you don't have no T's and I's to dot when other countries do it. And other countries already have enough information in all of the proper studies to show that it never did really have a significant, they allowed it to have a significant place within our society for its utilization. When in the first place, even looking at what, when you go Google it, the various different things that you could use as a replacement, those items should have been used in the first place. Yeah, but they got stuck on something that's virtually very cheap to make, and they don't want to move away from it. That's why the government takes a stance that they're going to do this their way, which is always anything I know of. When as soon as the government gets involved, everybody says, okay, go get your gray wig out because it's going to be a long time. Nothing happens instantly.
Wow. Okay, so now that's why right now you have the other two groups kind of taking over, where the FDA, while they're placing a hold, they're making a list of the chemicals that are hazardous to our health. And if that is on the list, then the store doesn't have to sell that product.
Well, I don't know how many times we have done this radio show, and that's one of the questions that you pose. What is our government going to do about it? And they are always very slow to react to common changes. When we did the show on baby mattresses, that these mattresses are killing babies. And in every country, you cannot sell those type of mattresses. But in America, we're still doing it. And you pose that same question. What is taking our government so long?
I think until the consumers begin to educate the consumers, I think is the biggest thing. We would think with all this social media, LinkedIn, website, all of this, you would think would be educated people in these areas, yet that's not happening.
Well, I agree, but at the same time, we're talking about a product that is sold.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime something is sold, the culprit in the bottom of the pot is a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And
nobody.
And whenever you go and pick into something, and it's a lot of dollars. I mean, if we go to the early 1800s, it used to be cotton in that mattress. Now it's not cotton. Cotton is another type of material. And since it has springs, you bring into the steel company. And since it has thread, and since it has material, and it just goes on and on and on. If you break that thing down, that's the how many hands are getting fed, and then you jump up and say, okay, ban it. Even wood in the cotton picking thing, you know. So there's a lot of industries that are benefiting from this product. And I'm like you. I say one life is worth a lot more than that.
Right.
Just one. What are we doing?
How many more deaths before they do something? I still say the consumers need to know and become more educated.
Absolutely. Be more informed about what is it that they're buying. And I'm sure if any mother or young father knew what they were purchasing, they wouldn't buy it in the first place. You wouldn't have to ban it. Nobody's going to buy it.
Because even with the warning signs on the label,
they still buy it.
It's not working.
Are we talking about a pack of cigarettes? Even with the warning signs on the label, they still buy it and smoke it. And think of what somebody went through to finally get Big Tobacco to even admit that in their own studies they knew about that. And, you know, they put money out there for those that have died of cancer and have certain lung conditions because they knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
But they still continued to sell it. And then they continued to lobby to lobby Congress and the senators so that they could continue to do what it is that they do. And the same thing is going on with this pain killer. There are certain people that they are paying congressmen and they're paying those that are empowered to back off and to let them to continue to receive gravy with this dangerous product. And it's horrendous.
So what do you think the solution is?
The solution is sort of the same stance that they took on nuclear weapons. They need to get that serious. Not only do you need to stop it, but you need to have a unilateral agreement throughout the world that you cannot use this product.
Right.
And you have, and if you do, the punishment needs to be severe. And it needs to go straight down the line. How do you dispose of it?
Why do you think Europe is ahead of us in these areas?
Because number one, they have more consideration on every type of product in every area than me and you could possibly think of. They have a strong focus on babies and how it's done. They have a even stronger focus on women and maternal conditions with babies and children. You don't hear about when is the last time you looked at the news and it said man found in Europe with 5 children locked up in a basement? It's a commonality here. You'll never hear no story like that. And then a woman loaded her children into the car and then drove her straight into the lake. And she's pleading not guilty. It doesn't happen. That's a mess for the United States.
Yeah, but
and every
they have the mentally ill also.
Yeah, well, they have some things that happen. It's just like domestic violence. Here it has to go on and on and on before a law got into place to be able to even halfway address it. And every many products that we have talked about on the show, everything from a baby mattress to other various different products, cough medicine, many different products that it in the United States, the light never turns red. It keeps staying green. They never stop.
Right.
They can continue to let these things still be available and still to hurt human people. The same thing happens with automobile makers and certain products that are in cars. In Europe, it's not happening. You're not going to be able to install this crazy stuff or bring an automobile in there that's going to continue to hurt people. In the United States, they do the same thing that you say all the time. How many people got to die before y'all do something?
Right. This is 2019, they knew about this in 2014. They knew about the methylene chloride in 2012. And here we are in 2019. Now we're putting a product on that anything that has it in it on a list. But that's not good enough.
And it's the same thing they're doing with the animals. How many of them have to be extinct before you guys say stop killing them and stop treat them the way you allow them to be treated? Here lately in the news, there's horses at the racetrack. How many of them got to die before you go take a look at them? Why are they dying?
When the first one died, that should have been immediate attention. You didn't have to wait for more. Now that you got their attention, now you're going to do something about it. It shouldn't be that way. There's not enough attention for this methylene chloride for it to have gone as long as it has gone. It just should not be. There should not be another death. And then And I doubt if this just started in 2012. That stuff's been around long.
This stuff has been around for
a long time.
And they've been putting a lid on it. The military has been putting a lid on it for years. They have plenty of, they have plenty of soldiers that have this problem with their chloride. And, you know, it's just like commonality that everybody in the United States, they assume that, okay, no warships, no United States ships get sunk. For real? Well, what happens when they have on there certain types of weaponry? They have torpedoes, they have guided missiles, all this kind of stuff is on that ship and it's going down. Another ship pulls up and they send healthy men in there, you go in there and offload that ship with that Agent Orange and all of these different types of chemicals and, of course, paint, because remember, the ship goes out into the sea and they don't have a document other than what's in the War Office that says when that ship is coming back. Those guys are out there for the next year or more before that thing is going to touch land. So you have to be able to paint the ship. And they're using they're using this same stuff. And most of them, majority of them, are coming up having cancer and various different forms of cancer. And because of where it's located, they know where it's coming from.
Anyone that's joining us, this is America Health Crisis through Blog Talk Radio. I'm Paulette Young, the host of America Health Crisis, and we're always joined by Selena Lindsay, that's who is just speaking on this pain center, and the military is affected by it too, those that are in the painting of ships or planes and things of that
kind. They're painting ships, aircraft, ships, aircraft, military buildings. They're constantly upgrading, cleaning up. It constantly goes on. And the military would be one of the biggest buyers of paint thinner. Because, you know, I'm not trying to say that they're cheap, but believe me, everybody knows what paint thinner does. It's in its name. It thins the paint out so that you can use more of it. And so they happen to be a big buyer of trying to save money. That's what it's used for. Anybody that was a part of the military, the probability is a part of your being punished. The detail was they gave you a paintbrush and said, get out there and start painting that fence.
Okay. We're going to switch gears here. Hopefully you've been listening and taking notes. And we're at the part of the program where Selena Lindsay, who works with a vast amount of organizations, and she's going to give you how to get a hold of these organizations and some of the things they're doing throughout the community. Okay, go ahead, Selena.
Yeah, well, first we're going to talk about where both me and you are putting in the good work, so to speak, which would be Sowing Seeds for Life. Sowing Seeds for Life is located at 1350 Arrow Highway, Sowing Seeds for Life is the second largest food bank in Southern California, and one of the things we pride ourselves is that all of the constituents that we serve and all of the people that we serve, the food is 100%, anything we're doing and we give it away is 100% free. So you don't come there and pay for anything. And part of the way that we advertise is that you bring your wagon so that you get enough food to take care of yourself, because we're believers that no child, nobody should be hungry. If you'd like to see what it is that we do, please go to our website, which is www.sowingseedsforlife.org. Please volunteer, or if you have a donation, please do so. The next organization I'd like to talk about is called Bright Prospect. Bright Prospect is located at 1460 East Hope Boulevard, Suite Number 74 in Pomona, California. The phone number over there is 909-623-9007. Again, that address is 1460 East Hope, and they're located in Pomona, California. That phone number, 909-623-9007. Primarily what they specialize in is helping low-income students find a way to go to college. You can see what Bright Prospect is doing by going to their website, which is www.brightprospect.org. Another great organization that's around within the community is called Helping Hands Caring, or Caring Heart Ministry. Primarily what they do is feed the homeless, and their phone number over there is area code 909-730-5313. They really try to help the homeless in putting together meals for these individuals so that they can survive the streets, and working with the streets is what they specialize in. And we commend them for, you know, the work that they do. Another organization that we're proud to represent is called Camp Corral. Camp Corral is a free summer camp for military children with a priority given to the children that belong to a wounded, disabled, or fallen soldier. You can see what Camp Corral is all about by going to www.campcorral.org, or please call 1-855-605-1267. The next organization that we would like to talk about is called One.org. One.org is definitely all about everything that Paulette just loves to talk about and to represent, because these guys, what they're dealing with is HIV, and they're super serious. They want to stop the spread of HIV, and they're doing it. They can actually have the ability now to do this before a child is even born. So just go to the website. There's too much to talk about there, and it's one.org, and you'll be able to see what it is that these people are able to do. The next organization is my favorite tongue twister, which is Sick and Tired of Being Tired. This organization is run by Kathy Braxton, and they're located at 260 East D Street in Colton, California. And the phone number over there is 562-313-0041. They're also a food pantry. They're there on the fourth Saturday of every month, and from time to time, they're going to start sending me other notifications, because sometimes on other days and other Saturdays, they're doing the same thing. And we're going to do one more. It's called VeteranCareSolutions.org. That organization is run by LaShonda Jones. And it's a very, very serious organization, which is serious about, number one, giving you the correct information on what you need to do for a veteran that is homeless, disabled, or sick, and pointing you, steer guiding you to where you need to go if you want to do the same kind of work. She's an expert. Please give her a call. The phone number is area code 909-329-8288, and the person you want to speak to is LaShonda Jones. Every time we do the show, I always say my piece, and that little piece goes something like this. I choose to speak out because silence is consent. I am a self-proclaimed change agent. Yes, I know I'm an agitator. I choose to be provocative. Speaking out raises tough issues. sometimes it makes other people very uncomfortable. Moreover, making some people more uncomfortable is exactly what I want to do. I take risks, and I use myself. I tell life stories and sometimes experience. I share my weakness and my mistakes. And also sometimes a little bit of embarrassment. I use me as the guinea pig because my main belief is to teach people how to use a fishing rod instead of giving them the fish. In that belief, I believe we can change the world and that we can get people to help themselves. I am Selena A. Lindsay, and I thank you for listening to this broadcast, and Paulette will finish closing up.
Yes, thank you. We'll be on the air same time Monday at 8 p.m. Pacific time. If you want to speak, you do have to press that 1. Other than that, your number, I'm not able to hear you. And that number again is 858-769-4936, and you have to press 1 if you want to talk. I know there are some that didn't understand why they couldn't say anything. You have to press that 1. Okay. Good night, everybody. We'll hear from you again next week. All right. Bye-bye.